Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to The Broad Experience, the show about women, the workplace, and success. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight. In this mini-show, we're talking about parental leave, or really navigating any extended leave.
A really big challenge around, you know, leave and flexibility is that people who aren't going out on leave feel very overburdened when work is just dumped on their plate. And that's another place where resentment can build up.
That's Rahel Ellison. She was one of the guests on my last show about delegation. When I interviewed her, she told me delegation is key to a successful leave, but more than that, a successful re-entry. We got onto this topic while we were still mulling over delegation. She told me her female clients have a hard time handing off work.
It's so much easier for them to just take on more work time and to work themselves, you know, to burnout than giving something away, than thinking about how could I structure this differently. Right. And I think that a lot of, you know, when we think about why flexibility is hard, you know, often for companies to implement, and when we think about the challenges around leave, parental leave, or any kind of family leave, and what's challenging about that, a lot of it is about how do you change the workflow and delegate, right? And we're not set up to do that. Like, we don't know those skills.
That is so true. After last week's show, I heard from a friend of mine, and she really crystallized something for me about this whole delegation thing. She said, look, I am terrible at delegating. I admit it. I'd love to be better. But she said delegating requires being organized in the first place. You have to strategize and think things through. And some people are just better at that than others. Rahel says for companies who've never even thought about leave before, ramping up means putting in some time. She tells the story of a tech startup in Pennsylvania. The CEO had never had a pregnant employee before, or the spouse of a pregnant employee who wanted to go on leave.
You know, he had a young workforce. When his first employee went, the CEO, when his first employee got pregnant and got ready to go out on leave, they spent 50 hours with her breaking down the different tasks that she had and thinking about how could we hand things off. Right. And what's the process we're going to use when we need to, when not just you, but anybody has to leave the office for any period of time for whatever reason. I spoke to a dad at that company, you know, who when he had to go on leave, when he needed flexibility, like there was a very clear process for here's how you hand your work off. And often that's just not explained, it's not detailed, no one knows what to do. And if you're not explicit about it, the delegation's not going to work.
Well, yeah, talk about this work you're doing around parental leave and how you think delegation or lack thereof plays into a difficult transition.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been coaching and consulting around parental leave now for quite some time, and I'm working with a center called the Center for Parental Leave Leadership. And one of the things that I've noticed in working with folks is that the enemy of success in the process of leave and the transition to out for leave, we think about the three phases of leave, right? Preparing for leave, going out on leave, and returning from leave. And the ambiguity that often, without outlining, you know, what the expectations are explicitly for how work is going to be handed off and how it's going to be picked up, what the communication timeline should be, you know, how and when should people be expected to respond to communication from the office. There will be automatic resentment and confusion and conflict between managers and employees, between team members. It happens every time, particularly on the return.
She says women often come back from leave to find some nasty surprises.
So I've had people who are partners in professional services firms who've lost clients. The clients, just nobody ever planned for it to come back to her. So she didn't have that client anymore. You know, there are just so many ways in which things are not spelled out. And it's not according to, you know, it's not spelled out according to the employee's wishes. It's not spelled out according to the manager's wishes. Nobody's talked about this. And so then when they come back, it falls apart and there's resentment. So one of the things I'll say before I talk about kind of the tools that we use, I think that this, one of the reasons why parental leave is an important transitional moment, it's one that comes up a lot in workplaces. It's an opportunity for managers to learn skills about how to support someone personally and professionally in the workplace. It's an opportunity for employees and managers to learn about how to create more transparent and clear communication around work reorganization and delegation, right? And it's, you know, it can transform the way people work going forward.
Maybe you're listening to this in the UK or Canada or Sweden or somewhere else where women get a year's worth of leave or more. I'd be so curious to know if this stuff resonates with you or if it's completely alien. Because in the workaholic US, you're lucky if you get 4 months off after you have a baby. So maybe in other countries, they just do leave better. Maybe none of these problems exist in countries where leave is a bigger part of the culture. Rahel says she and her colleagues at the Center for Parental Leave Leadership use this tool called the Next Step Action Plan. She says it lets people think clearly and specifically about what projects they have on their plate, what tasks are involved, who's going to be affected by the handoff, who's going to take on responsibility when that person is gone. She says there's also a communication plan. You know, will you be in contact while you're away? If so, how often?
There are contingency plans, right? What if you have to go out on leave earlier? What if there are unexpected changes that are required? How can you plan for those? And then when you come back, how exactly are each of those projects you outlined before going on leave going to be transitioned back to you in a very specific way, right? How do you kind of make sure that not only are you clear on what you want, your manager is clear, your team members are clear, right? And it also gives the person, the employee who's delegating the work, an opportunity to, you know, be aware and be conscious of who's taking that work over and how to reward them and thank them for stepping in when they needed them to, which is a really big challenge around, you know, leave and flexibility, is that people who aren't going out on leave feel very overburdened when work is just dumped on their plate. And that's another place where resentment can build up. So this is about intentionality. It's about thinking through delegation in a way that's proactive and productive as opposed to, you know, an afterthought.
She says the best way for people to plan their leave is to plan their return.
They feel prepared. I think the overwhelm of thinking about how to suddenly combine work and life in a different way can kind of cloud their thinking about some of these practical pieces that they need to be considering.
And of course, it helps a lot when you and your company are working in tandem to plan this leave, so everyone knows what to expect.
Too often I've heard from clients before using this tool and before, you know, planning in this way, like, I'm not sure what it's going to be like when I come back. What are they going to expect from me? What are they not? Lots of, you know, what are they going to say about me? So many different questions that aren't just about the work itself, but the expectations of their performance and the judgments that they're kind of assuming are going to come. This process of planning seems to kind of wipe all that out because it's all documented, it's all on paper, it's all something that has been reviewed collectively by all of the stakeholders. So it takes additional time to put in. But once the process is in place, then the emotional pieces and the baggage that we carry with us become secondary, can be sort of minimized.
You can find out more at cplleadership.com. I'll also put a link on the website. And if you've had an experience around leave you'd like to share, go ahead and post a comment under this episode at thebroadexperience.com or on the show's Facebook page. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.